Hey Moneymakers, Kalila will be unavailable to host tonight's show. She had to fly home to Belize for her grandfather's funeral. But don't leave just yet. We've still got a great show planned for you guys. Here's a recap of our official Money Mission launch, and the analysts are standing by. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. American Airlines says service to the Ian Fleming International Airport in St. Mary will begin on February 24 next year. According to the airline, the new service will operate twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays, with an aircraft capacity of 76 passengers. Travelers will have to depart from the Miami International Airport in Florida. American Airlines said that introducing this route further solidifies its position as the leading airline in Jamaica, operating over 100 weekly flights to the United States during the winter season. The board of directors at digital learning company Edufocal will meet again later this week to discuss a possible rights issue or stock split. Talks of a possible equity raise come as the company has begun its expansion into Africa. According to a notice on the JSE's website, the company's board will meet on Friday to discuss if they will recommend a rights issue or stock split to shareholders. The news sent Edufocal's stock price soaring 89% last week. The stock closed at $2.54. International credit rating agency Moody's has upgraded Jamaica's credit rating from a B3 to B2. The agency also noted that the country's economic outlook was stable. Moody's assessment is the second credit rating improvement Jamaica has received from international agencies in 2 months. In September, S&P Global upgraded Jamaica's rating from a B- to a BB+. According to Moody's, the country's debt has continued to decline and there have been sustained improvements in the economy. Oil prices fell over 2% on Monday as diplomatic efforts in the Middle East intensified in an attempt to contain the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Brent crude prices were down 2.5%, closing Monday at $89.83 US per barrel, while West Texas Intermediate prices were down almost 3%, closing at $85.49 US per barrel. Monday's losses were the most both benchmark prices have dropped in a day since early October. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Hey! Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Good evening everyone. Oh, it was so nice. See? Give yourselves a round of applause. We're here, we showed up.
So great to be here in Jamaica. Flew all the way up north. Apparently, it's a long way from Trinidad to Jamaica, it seems, but it's great to be here with you all this evening. Thank you for inviting us to be part of this event. And it truly is a great joy for me personally to be here, but more importantly, to be here representing my company, the Trinidad and Tobago Unit Trust Corporation, and of course, your very own Grace Kennedy as sponsors to this event. Congratulations to Kalila for taking on this massive and very important task of educating the public on money matters. Knowledge, I think, is the beginning of transformation. And I think you are doing a wonderful job that will begin to transform this great country of Jamaica. So well done to you.
It gives me immense pleasure and pride to be standing here today at the launch of the Money Mission, an initiative spearheaded by one of Jamaica's most respected financial journalists and entrepreneurs, Kalila Reynolds. And who knew she could dance too, you know? On behalf of the Private Sector Organization of Jamaica, I'd like to extend our most heartfelt congratulations and well wishes to you. Your efforts to promote financial education in Jamaica have been empowering and enlightening. In today's dynamic world, being financially aware isn't just a luxury, it's an absolute necessity.
This great country of Jamaica, so well done to you.
It gives me immense pleasure and pride to be standing here today at the launch of the Money Mission, an initiative spearheaded by one of Jamaica's most respected financial journalists and entrepreneurs, Kalila Reynolds. And who knew she could dance too, you know? On behalf of the private sector organization of Jamaica, I'd like to extend our most heartfelt congratulations and well wishes to you. Your efforts to promote financial education in Jamaica have been empowering and enlightening. In today's dynamic world, being financially aware isn't just a luxury, it's an absolute necessity. The knowledge we gain about our finances directly impacts our daily decisions, our future goals, and our nation's collective prosperity. It is about understanding the intricacies of the financial world so that we can make informed choices, reduce vulnerabilities, and build wealth. With increased financial literacy, we can create a Jamaica where every individual, irrespective of their background, has an equal opportunity to thrive and contribute to our nation's progress. Kalila has been instrumental in raising awareness about businesses and financial issues through her program, Taking Stock. Her program has brought together businesses, MSMEs, government ministers, international guests, and the wider community to facilitate discussions on topical issues. The value of these discussions, the insights shared, and the knowledge disseminated cannot be overstated. Having been a guest on Taking Stock, I've seen firsthand the diligence and foresight that goes into ensuring that our nation is equipped with critical financial information. The rigor with which each topic is approached, the caliber of the guest, and the consistency in delivering relevant content makes Taking Stock an invaluable resource for all Jamaicans. Let me reiterate our support for endeavors such as Money Mission, which we see as not just a program, but a movement towards a brighter, financially empowered Jamaica. Here's to success and the continued prosperity of our great nation. Good luck, Kalila.
Kalila is one of those people that, you know, I've kind of advised informally over the years. I've been along the journey with her. And, you know, for anybody that you watch any of her interviews, there, that is a characteristic of determination and grit, right? Which is why when we've seen her leave her corporate job and start KRM and launch Taking Stock, and you know, here we are, you know, at the launch of Money Mission, you know, what I see in Kalila is somebody just is relentless. She does not give up, she just goes. As a matter of fact, I think I still have the honor of the longest serving guest host on Taking Stock. Is that still true, Kalila? The longest serving. And that was because she was pregnant with Ryan, right? It was Ryan. And she literally was pregnant, and she kept doing Taking Stock up until maybe like a couple days before she went into labor, or like the day before she went into labor. And then a couple days before that, she called me again, like today, Mark, you know, I just started Taking Stock not too long ago. I'm pregnant and I'm about to go into labor. So do you mind subbing in for 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever? I'm like, Kalila, really? But, you know, I did it. Sure enough, you know, she had a baby and she came back, you know, and she just kept going. She's a machine, you know. So here we are I was at the first launch of Taking Stock, and here we are at the launch of Money Mission. And I'm sure that in a few years, we'll be at the launch of the IPO. And after that, the launch of some acquisition of some, you know, company overseas, and perhaps even launch on, you know, the IPO on the New York Stock Exchange or something. So I really just wanted to come here and you know, big up Khalilah. She really does exemplify one of the core character traits that you need as an entrepreneur, which is the grit and the determination. And also, I'm a huge fan of, you know, the financial literacy movement. I'm also a participant. That's kind of where we, you know, really became, you know, a lot closer is through that experience. So I'm a huge supporter of the movement, of what she's doing, and I'm really looking forward to the next chapter. So big up Khalilah and all the best.
Now, first of all, this podium thing ain't me. I feel like I needed some music to bring back the drift. Everybody, welcome to the Money Mission. Good evening. It is great to see you here. It warms my heart that you made it out in the pouring rain. And even if it wasn't pouring, just pretend it was pouring to make me feel good that you came out in the pouring rain. But I am, I'm in my feelings this evening. Because around 4 o'clock, Keisha, hey girl. This morning, it was pouring rain. And I said, no, it will pass. This evening will be fine. And then 4 o'clock, I'm on my way here and it's pouring rain. I said, oh my God, nobody's gonna come. And so to see you all here still makes me feel so good. Not to mention the journey and the things that we went through to pull off this event this evening, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But before that, many of you asked me, why are you dressed up like Fidel Castro? Why are you dressed like this? What's going on? And you see the branding, and you see the name of the community called Money Mission. And when you ask me that question, the answer is very simple. It's because I'm on a mission, but not just any mission, a money mission, because we need to make some money. What's my mantra? Let's get this money. Now, 2023 started off tough. I don't know about the rest of you, but this year has been a tough, tough year for me personally and for KRM as a business. It has been a year of reckoning. It has been my first year that I've truly understood what it means to be an entrepreneur. When I started taking stock and Money Mondays at the time in 2019, it was smooth sailing. And then when I started, when I left my corporate job, as you said, NNN, in October 2020, that's almost 3 years to the date, so it was the end of October, it never felt like much of a risk, to be honest. I felt like I knew what I was doing. Business was going well. Opportunities were opening up. The stock market, I mean, COVID came, yes, that was tricky. But I still felt fairly secure in what we were doing. But 2023? Ooh, so what? How did the year start? SSL and Usain Bolt, right? I started the year in Puerto Rico, along with my good friend Keisha and Stacy as well. We were at this summit called ROI, Return on Investment, the Millionaire Summit. And I spoke at that event, and I was on a high. I felt amazing. I'm like, 2023 is gonna be our year, it's our breakthrough year. We're gonna do all these things in 2023. But while I'm at this event, the SSL drama is unfolding. Them thief Usain Bolt money. And 12 dozens of other people lost millions of dollars as well. And what's the first thing I have to do? I have to sit down and say, how do we respond to this as a company? Because me, Khalilah Reynolds, been telling people for the past 4 years to invest their money. And SSL is on the list of licensed brokers in Jamaica. And people are gonna turn around and say, how you tell if you invest with money? See how you saying both MT falling money? And so one of the first responses as a company that we had to take is to pull all our advertising and to change our messaging, which means that masterclass that I used to be promoting all the time, can't sell that, can't make no money off of that. It means that all the events that we used to get hired to cover, canceled. No income for months. It means that interest in the show, taking stock, which is our bread and butter, nobody wants to hear that message right now. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to hear what we have to say. And as a matter of fact, some people on social media are saying, I don't trust any woman to tell me anything about money. Because the accused in this instance was a woman, right? What if it's a pretty woman? Don't tell me nothing. Is it that Khalilah Reynolds? And so our revenue was severely impacted by what happened, not to mention the loss of investor confidence for months and still. Because now you try to tell people about investing and people are like, nope, but not under my mattress. That is not going to catch me. What catch you saying, but I'd rather keep it there. Even if I abandon the house, at least it's my house. I'm not taking that risk. And so that has been one of the factors that we've had to deal with. This is why I say this year has been one of the most challenging years for us as a company. And now I understand what it means truly to be an entrepreneur, because now I still have staff to pay. So I'm wearing a pretty black and gold, let's get this money t-shirt. But we don't have the same income coming in that we are used to. And then on top of that, investor confidence is down, stock market is down, so my personal income, which, you know, some of it comes through stock market, that's down. And then on top of that, the economy has been going through some changes as well. Inflation, cost of living gone up, everything is more expensive. And when you see companies going through an environment like this, anybody in here know what's the first line item companies cut from their budget? Marketing. So our sponsorships got cut, not because we did anything wrong, but because some of our sponsors were going through their own issues and they cut their marketing budget, which is how they pay us. And so this year, boy, this year has been rough. But throughout it all, as Mark said, that grit and determination, we find a way to make it happen. So I'd been having this idea bubbling in my mind for several months. I say, you know what, we need to find a way to pull our community together. Because every time we do Taking Stock and we're live on YouTube and I see the comments just bubbling in the chat and people are talking to each other in the chat, people say, what are you investing about? What are you investing about? No, that's not good, but yeah, this is why it's good. And I say, how can we capture and curate that outside of this once a week show called Taking Stock? How can we keep that going online? How can we create a community that brings these people together and gives them an opportunity to talk to each other 24/7? I wonder what's happening with Siboney. I hear they made an offer. Should I accept the offer? What do other investors like me think of this offer? Where can I go to find out? Where can I go to ask them? I don't know many personally. It's just me, maybe my husband, a couple people that I know, a couple friends that I know. Where can I find this community of like-minded people? And that is the Money Mission. It's a community of people who are interested in making money and helping each other to make money. Because something that our host, Stacy, said in her introduction really struck me. You remember what you said, Stacey? You said many things, didn't you? You said, it takes a community to build wealth. And I was like, that is it. I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna use that in our marketing, Stacey. It takes a community to build wealth. When you look at the Chinese community, what do? They pool their resources. In making money is to pool our knowledge resources. Because I guarantee you, every one of you in this room knows something that the person beside you doesn't know. I guarantee you, you know something that she doesn't know. And you know something that he doesn't know. And you can teach each other these things by sharing our knowledge and sharing our resources inside the Morning Mission community. And so I wanted to make it clear that even though my face is all over this branding right now, this community really is not about me, Khalila Reynolds. It is about you. It is about us coming together to share our knowledge and our resources. And right now, yes, I am hosting most of the webinars and doing most of the work and trying to get it together, because right now this community needs a face and it needs somebody with energy to push it. But my ultimate objective is that this is going to be a community that you, the members, run. That if you have some expertise that you want to share, you can send an email to our team and say, hey, I want to host a webinar in the community about XYZ area of expertise. And you can do that and get other members to come to your webinar inside the community. I think it is a beautiful thing and a beautiful space that we will be able to create and share. I've set the ball rolling with many resources that we already have and some that are continued to be created on a weekly basis. As I have an idea, I say, guys, let's do it. Let's execute. And so far in the community, how many members are here? Give me a woo! We have some Morning Mission members here, the foundation. I'm so happy that you especially are here, because you guys believed in this vision even before we did this whole launch, right? You guys came through while I was still building it, and you are patient with me, so I appreciate you so much. But so far in the community, we have hosted webinars, including an IPO review for One Great Studio. We've hosted Done With Debt webinar, which gave you some steps to figure out how to get out of debt. We did a webinar on knowing and understanding your credit score. A lot of people don't even realize Jamaica uses credit scores. And so we're doing these events weekly inside that space. And those are available to you on the basic plan, which is a monthly plan. But if you want to get the best value, then you I would deliver, because when I say I'm going to do something, I do it, right? All the time. No matter if I'm about to have a baby, it is going to happen. So in addition to the webinars, we also have courses. The next course coming up is in November, and that one is going to be on building a business on social media, which is something I think I learned a little bit about over the past 4 years. Not just how do you have a business or how do you grow your following, but more importantly, how do you convert those followers to customers?
I want to talk to you about supply. Because in talking about money, a lot of times for tourism, you guys think that money is about hotel. And money, it's about airline. But you know the story about airline? The quickest way to be a millionaire is to buy an airline as a billionaire. So you talk about ships, and you say money. But that's not where money is. 42% of the expenditure of the visitor is on food. So 2019, 1.4 billion people traveled around the world and spent $9 trillion. Do the math. 42% expenditure on food. So money is in food. And to emphasize that, tourism is the most consumption-driven activity on planet Earth. That's what people travel to do, to consume. So they consume food, 42%. So get into food, invest in food. Money, money, money. So the next thing that they do, we call that gastronomy. So the next thing that they do in that order is shopping. Big time shopping. So invest in shopping, shopping, shopping. Sell everything. The third in that order is entertainment and sports and cultural exploits. So you want to make money? Get into entertainment, music and art. And the performing arts beyond just the popular music idiom that you know. And then, of course, there are attractions, attractions of all types. Tourism is the only industry on planet Earth where you can make money from making two foolish crustaceans race, crab race. Yes. So what does it require to make money in tourism? An idea.
I'm extremely happy to be here this evening as the Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce, but really Jamaica's Business Ministry. Jamaica's Business Minister, because that's what we do. I'm very particularly happy to be here to see General Khalilah. Now, I lived in the Middle East for a long time, so I almost said General Khalifa. But, you know, it's just good to see her and to see how in a very short time, Khalilah has grown immensely. I mean, those of you, I remember when Khalilah interviewed me the first time, she was on radio. I was chairing a boutique finance company right beside Bijou at that time. I think that was my first time face-to-face, that interview. And then I watch her grow. Then she goes into her television and YouTube and social media, and I was there following her, making and saying, you know, you get press a little hard to say yes, you're doing good, and you know, with 500 other thousand people with it, but to watch her grow into where the Money Mission is today is really outstanding, and give her a round of applause from the Ministry of Industry, Investment and Commerce.
Thank you for your energy this evening. I hope that you are leaving here having downloaded something for your mind, some knowledge for that self-knowledge and self-empowerment. And thank you so much for your participation and for your encouragement throughout the night. It was wonderful hosting you. And I do hope that you have a fabulous rest of your evening. Please, you can follow me or find me on social media at I Am Stacey Hines. I look forward to serving you in the future. Do drive home safely. Take care, everybody.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, Insurance Made Easy.
Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KhalilahReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JC Combined Index lost 3,000 points or 1% last week. 119 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week ending Friday, October 20, 2023. 46 made gains, 58 lost value, and 15 stayed the same. 68 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $327 million. Edufocal was last week's most traded stock. It took up 15% of market volume with 10 million shares trading. The stock gained $1.20 to open the week at $2.54. The stock was also the week's biggest gain, up almost 90%. Wigton traded the second highest. The stock gained 4 cents to open this week at 74 cents. And Mailpack rounded out last week's most traded with 5 million shares changing hands. The stock gained 19 cents to open Monday at $2.21. Now let's see who are the biggest gains for the week. CAC 2000 was the market's second biggest gainer after Edufocal. The stock was up 25% open Monday at $4.92. And PBS 9.75% cumulative redeemable was up 21% open the week at $120.18. On the losing side now, JMMB 7.25 was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 59 cents to open Monday at $2. Cargo Handlers was the week's second biggest loser, opening the new week at $11.78. And PBS USD fell almost 15% to close the week at $1.54 US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index lost 1% last week. National Enterprises was the most traded stock. The stock lost 5 cents to open this week at $3.50 TT. LJ Williams was the biggest gain of the week. The stock was up 14% to start the week at $2.39 TT. And on the losing side, Trinidad and Tobago NGL fell 15% to open Monday at $10.99 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones fell 2% last week, while the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq were down about 3% last week. At the pumps, gas prices fell 25 cents last week, while diesel prices gained an additional $4.50. In foreign exchange, it took an average $155.37 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. That's 96 cents less than a week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $116.46 Jamaican to purchase $1 Canadian. One British pound cost on average $191.81 Jamaican, and you could buy €1 for $168.08 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices rose almost 9% over the past 5 days, trading at $30,834 US on Monday, while Ethereum was up 7%, trading at $1,680 US on Monday. This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, is brought to you by Profit Jump Starter. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm Julian Morrison, founder of WealthWatch JA, and I'm joined by CEO of Profit Jump Starter, Keisha Bailey. For those of you just joining us, Khalilah had a family emergency back in Belize, unfortunately, so we're holding down the fort. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Julian.
All right. So I'll start with my topic, which is an overview of ExxonMobil's quarterly results. So just a brief synopsis. ExxonMobil is one of the large energy players in the United States. They do both upstream activities and downstream activities, meaning that the company covers the entire energy value chain, meaning that the company covers the mining, refining, and retail activities as it relates to energy production. So we talk about petroleum products, so fuel in many forms, both in terms of new fuel products that go into hybrid vehicles and also traditional petroleum products. So how did the company do for the 6 month period ended June 2023? So let's start with revenue. The revenue is down 17.8%, but operating costs also fell 18.3%. And net profit after tax is down 17.2%. So let's speak about some of the drivers. The West Texas Intermediate oil price fell from $114.68 per barrel to $70.31 per barrel over the period. So we'd have noticed a 38.8% fall year over year in energy prices. And with such a large downward move in energy prices, it would have affected the revenue that the company earns. Now, for perspective, in terms of the year over year move for the next quarter, we anticipate a smaller decline. So we saw a decline of 38.8% year over year for June, but the move for September is expected to be 11.4%. So we don't expect revenue to be down as much. But the grander play for a company like Exxon is more long-term. Why is that? That's because energy supply is actually declining on a macro level. What does that mean? It means that the demand for energy is sustained, but energy supply is not sustained at the same pace. So it means in the next 3, 5, 7, 10 years, energy supply is likely to become more and more constrained, which is why there's a big rush for Guyanese reserves. So for those who are inclined in terms of risk appetite, ExxonMobil is one of the largest players. They've been doing this for a long time, for decades, and they're well capitalized. It's a company that's investment grade. They have a strong balance sheet. And sometimes as investors, we have to look at companies while they're having a difficult period, especially companies that have very strong fundamentals. So it's something I call the ugly duckling principle. So you have to make the investment while it is an ugly duckling, so that when it's no longer an ugly duckling and everyone else realizes, you would have absorbed all of that value, because we want to buy cheap and sell high. In terms of the price, the company is trading at $156.65, and that's down 17.4% compared to the 52-week high. It's also down 4% from the 200-day moving average, and the PE is 10.19 times. So the market average in the U.S. is closer to about 16 times. So it's much cheaper than most of the U.S. market right now. The return on equity is 19.26%, which means that even though we'd have seen a fall off in revenues and profitability, the company is still performing handsomely, because typically we want a return on equity of 10 to 12%, and now it's at 19. So this is a company that has a very strong long-term outlook. Even though the period is seeing a decline in terms of revenue and profitability, it doesn't sum up the actual position of the company. So it's an opportunity for investors who want to take the risk and want to look for a longer time horizon, that's 3, 5, 7, 10 years, to get some value. The dividend yield is also above 2.5%, which is attractive. So we're not just talking about the potential price move. Because of where the company is and where the company is likely to be in the future, but also we can also look at it for income. So it's income and the potential price move. Just to round off our discussion around energy, Chevron, which is a competitor to ExxonMobil, is acquiring Hess, another energy player, basically the number three player in the market, for US$53 billion. So what that means is that if there are less energy players in the market and there's falling supply, it means that less players will be controlling or reducing supply in the market, which means that the market overall, in terms of the market structure, is moving closer and closer to a monopoly. So if there are less players controlling the same amount of oil, each player that is still in the market will have more pricing power, which means higher revenues and higher average energy prices as time continues. If this consolidation continues, which is what we expect. So that's better profit margin for the energy players that are still in the market going forward. And as we know, Chevron is one of the stronger players, and we expect them to stay around, and also ExxonMobil. So that is my summary. A potential catalyst is the Hamas-Israeli conflict. If it escalates, energy prices could also break out into a new trading range, move from the 80s range to the 90s, especially as we go into 2024. And we have to consider the fact that the U.S. is loyal to Israel. It could spur into something bigger, which is an opportunity for investors to consider energy as a sector. And ExxonMobil is a good avenue to enter energy as a sector. So, Keisha, over to you.
Wait, 1 second, everybody. Good night, everyone. Producer Sachel from behind the scenes here. I have a question for Julian. So Exxon is playing a really big role in developing Guyana's oil segment. How do you think that everything that's happening in Guyana will affect Exxon in the long term?
Well, let's backtrack a bit. So in terms of energy supply, the U.S. is one of the leading producers. I believe the U.S. is in the top three. And what we need to pay keen attention to is the fact that the U.S. has the strategic petroleum reserves. And over the last 3 years, the strategic petroleum reserves have fallen off significantly. So to color the discussion, the fall off in the strategic petroleum reserves means that the U.S. cannot continue to supply itself and the rest of the world with only U.S. supply in terms of energy and oil reserves, which would spur the largest energy producers in the world, which are U.S. oil companies, to look in new places, which is how Guyana comes into the discussion. Guyana is turning out to be within the top five in terms of potential energy reserves, natural energy reserves, in terms of volume. And if it has that much untapped potential, then it would spur the largest energy producers, which are U.S. companies, to go into that territory to get this oil cheap in a South American territory and be able to supply it to the world with its technology and expertise to get a good margin. So it's a story of supply. It's a story of scarcity in the U.S. It's a story of catalysts such as outbreaks and conflicts. And also, what we need to remember about energy is that as oil reserves become more depleted or exhausted, each additional barrel of oil is more expensive to produce, because the further the oil gets away from the surface is the more costly it is to produce each barrel of oil. So to keep oil affordable, or to keep the oil supply sustainable, companies have to keep finding oil reserves that are fresh, because the more oil reserves that get exhausted, the more expensive it gets to produce each additional barrel of oil, which not only means higher energy prices, but reduced profit margins, because they can only charge so much at a time. So we need fresh oil, oil that is cheap to harvest, to get the supply right, and to also drive the volumes. So that is the importance of Guyana.
Awesome, thanks.
All right, if there aren't any more questions, over to you, Keisha. I believe you're looking at the housing market.
Yes, I am.
All right, tell us about that.
The scene on the U.S. housing market is very similar to what's happening in Jamaica, but I believe Jamaica is more in the early days. So let's talk about the U.S. first. Mortgage rates on average in the U.S. have gone up, just like you see in Jamaica. In the U.S., mortgage rates are now 8%, which is very high, because if we think about it, coming from 2008 until now, we've been in what you call a low interest rate environment, where it was very, very cheap to borrow money. So coming out of the pandemic, interest rates started going up very, very quickly from last year, even into this year a bit. And because of that, we're seeing now mortgage rates being higher. The effect of that on U.S. housing prices is that it's become way more unaffordable for a lot of persons, especially first-time home buyers. They can't really afford a house. And so there's this new thing coming up that, you know, a generation maybe end up being lost, because you're going to have so many people who are now just entering the workforce, ready to start a family, and they can't afford to buy a house because it's just so expensive. So the situation we're seeing in the U.S. is unique, because what's happening now, the home builders, which we call developers, that are building the houses, they're saying, hey, we're building all these houses. Affordability is becoming an issue, so it's impacting sales. Not as many transactions are going on. So the home builders step in and say, you know what, we are going to do our part to increase affordability. And so they've been helping the home buyers by providing what we call somewhat like a discount. They're providing a rebate to the home buyers to make the housing prices a little bit more affordable. People, and you see in the comments, people talking about crash and all that could be happening. The impact from the home buyers isn't going to be that aggressive to cause a crash in and of itself. But what we're definitely seeing is that the transactions are slowing down. A lot of open houses are there and people are just coming just to see. So demand is there, but there are no transactions. The ripple on effect can be that, you know, could something like this be coming to Jamaica? Because in Jamaica, we're having the same thing. Very high interest rates on mortgages. We're seeing some banks at 9, 10% for mortgage rates now. I mean, I looked this morning and I see 9.75, 10 point something for mortgages. So when you think about what that translates into for your monthly mortgage purchase, it can be a lot. It can be a lot of money. And so affordability could become an issue here as well in terms of that monthly payment. And will we see something similar in Jamaica where the developers, the builders, are helping to make prices more affordable by offering discounts or rebates? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. It's very unique so far. It's an interesting concept coming out of the US. So wait and see. I don't think we're getting a market crash in the US. Why? Because supply is limited. Still, there are not that many houses being built to create that crash. So we're not likely to see a big crash, as a lot of people are saying in the comments. In Jamaica, we could ask, could we see a crash there? Probably not as well, based on the same issue. The supply is building, but it's not at a stage yet where we may see a bubble, as they call it, which is what would create the burst. So just wanted to point that out. Interesting times in the US market.
All right, Keisha, so there's a question here from Sean that says, is the Fed considering another interest hike?
Yeah, well, definitely what we're seeing in the Fed minutes and from a lot of the Fed speakers, they are what they call data driven. And the Fed is raising interest rates if they see inflation continuing to be a problem. The inflation numbers, the most recent ones, were not that much in terms of rate of increase, but the Fed is still on watch. They're watching. They're very cautious. They're waiting on the inflation data to come out to see if they will. They've even said it, that another rate hike is very likely. It's just a matter of when it's going to come. So the answer is yes. We just don't know when. Is it going to be in this year? Highly likely. Or is it going to be early next year? But it's coming.
No, Keisha, I was just saying that it's really rough in terms of housing. But
yeah.
There are some workarounds. There are some persons who are very inflexible. They only want things that are new and pretty, but the ugly duckling principle also applies to housing, because there are possible opportunities in looking at locations, postal zones that are ignored. For example, Kingston 19 and 20 doesn't have valuations that are as high as Kingston 6 and Kingston 8. But someone can get yard space.
You're still going to need a mortgage at the night.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, but
still very hard to afford it. No matter what, I could have Kingston 256. Still going to be an affordability issue, just based, unless you're going cash. So probably if you know we have cash buyers, we can say, well, with the cash, you know, you forego having to go secure the mortgage at the higher rates.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a matter of thinking outside the box, given the situation.
Right, yeah.
Because I feel bad for people my age, because I just said, boy.
Well, like they call it a generation ruined, that a lot of people are going to have to stay with mommy and daddy or uncle and auntie or somebody for a longer time.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. What I was thinking of, too, is there, where appropriate, there might be persons who might know an architect, they might know somebody who knows how to build houses, and they might be able to buy a parcel of land and build, and that might work out better than trying to hope that the market crashes, for argument's sake.
Yeah, it's not a crash. Persons, especially internationally, who have been waiting for almost 20 years on a crash. From 08, they're you know, saying, all right, the next one coming. And during that time, home prices have gone up significantly, so there's no money made on the sidelines, I always tell people. So while you're watching, the money is being made.
Right. And one feature of the financial crisis of 2008 is the fact that building inventory slowed down significantly. So a lot of home builders actually came out of the market. So the building that would have occurred in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, leading up to the mid-2000s, essentially slowed down drastically after the crisis, which is feeding into what we're seeing in the US market, where it pertains to the shortage of supply. And it's a similar issue in Jamaica as it relates to the shortage of supply. For many years, interest rates were super high, especially coming out of the FinSAC era, and it wouldn't have been as feasible to build at scale as it would have been in prior periods. And we are still feeling the effects of that shortage in terms of building inventory. So we're seeing the inventory come out. We're seeing the new developments, all the apartments that are coming out, but it's nowhere near the supply. So we're seeing that catch-up effect. But
well, and you can't even dig deeper, supply in what price brackets, right?
Because yeah, I was about to say that.
As they say, afford a million of, what is it, 30 million fair house up a stony, not anymore. More like 100 million fair house. So not everyone can afford in those price brackets, which that's creates right. a Very deeper much. Affordability issue.
Yeah. And we could see a bigger correction in certain segments. So, for instance, a luxury segment, we'll call luxury real estate, but more in middle markets, definitely not, because the supply and demand is closer together. I would expect to see much more appreciation there. And also what's interesting is that inflation doesn't just affect the price of food, but it also affects the price of housing, because if a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow, it means that the cost of everything will be going up, including housing, because building materials are no more expensive. So developers have to make their margin. So we have to factor in the effect that inflation will have on housing. So there's that as well.
Yeah.
That was it, right, Keisha, on your end?
Yes.
All right.
That's it.
That's the end of the segment. We'll now take a short break.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, was brought to you by Profit Jump Starter.
I see you waiting for me. You're in my reach, but I have to have a little extra push to get close to you. Are you flirting with me? You want me to come get you, but you won't fall into my lap. You want me to show you that I want you. You want me to be responsible and proactive. Okay, you, I'm coming.
Well, thanks everyone for joining tonight. Remember to follow on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Khalila Ray, and follow KRM_business news on Instagram. Thanks again, everyone. See you soon.
Let's get this money.